It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Friends, we've got a very special program coming your way today on the line of fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming to you live from Denver, Colorado, where I'm at this entire week, teaching a class at Denver Theological Seminary. This is a live broadcast, but I won't be taking calls today. There's going to be a lot that's going to come up that you're going to want to comment on, ask questions about, but you need to drop me a line at Dr. Brown. That's Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown at askdrbrown.org, and I'll be fielding some of those questions with a special guest that I'll be introducing to you in a moment. Now, I know that many of you listening are sports fans and many are not, but this show is relevant for every one of you. Before I introduce my guest, let me read to you briefly from an article by Jeff Perlman, quoting Dave Pair. Dave Pair was a Pro Bowl defensive lineman for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Super Bowl champion with the Oakland Raiders, 5 years in the National Football League, so he was a top player. Listen to what he says. Don't let your kids play football. Never. He said, I wish I never played football. He's 56. I wish that more than anything, every single day, I want to take back those years of my life. The article says, Pear is sitting in his home in Seattle. His neck hurts. His hip hurts. Both hips. His knees hurt. His feet hurt. When he wakes up in the morning, pain shoots through his body. When he goes to sleep at night, pain shoots through his body. What does Pear do to stay active? My life is simple. He says, it's hard to get out of bed, but eventually I do. I try and do a little walking on the treadmill. I take naps. I go to physical therapy once per week. I read my Bible. He is, in basic terms, a train wreck, a football-inflicted train wreck. Pear walks with a cane and often simply doesn't walk at all. He suffers from vertigo and memory loss. Over the past 18 years, he has undergone 8 surgeries, though he chalks up his physical ailments to a snap after snap of punishment. He pinpoints the biggest problems back to 1979 and 80, his final 2 NFL seasons. While playing for Oakland, Pear suffered a herniated disc in his neck that never improved despite the unbearable agony. He says the Raiders urge him to keep playing. Be man, be tough. Listen to this, and then I'm going to introduce our special guest. Throughout North America, many of Pear's retired football brethren hear his words and scream, Amen. Conrad Dobler, the legendary Cardinals offensive lineman, is about to go through his 32nd knee surgery. Wally Chambers, the Chicago Bears 3-time Pro Bowl defensive end, spends much of his time in a wheelchair. Earl Campbell, the powder blue bowling ball, struggles to walk and underwent surgery to remove 3 large bone spurs. The list is both heartbreaking and never-ending. One NFL player after another, debilitated either mentally, physically, or both. And those that were interviewed by Jeff Perlman, more than 150 former players, he said, I'd say 60% experienced blistering pain from a sport they played 2 decades ago. Violence in the National Football League. Should Christians be involved in a sport like this? Should Christians be entertained by a sport like this? Is there something that can be done to turn the tide with these horrific injuries? Or should we even feel sorry for someone that makes millions of dollars a year and gets to do what they want to do, and hey, this is just part of the price that you pay? Joining me today on the line of fire is a good friend, a committed Christian, and a sports writer for the Charlotte Observer, Charles Chandler. And Charles first brought some of these issues to my attention a few years ago, and it's been on my mind ever since. Charles, thanks so much for being on the air with us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Dr. Brown.
Hey, Charles, how many years have you been with the Charlotte Observer?
Well, I've been the last 18 and a half years now, Dr. Brown, since 91.
91. And what sports have you covered for the Observer?
Well, I used to cover college basketball and college football. I've done investigative reporting and in the sports area primarily. I've covered the NFL either as a beat reporter or as a project/investigative reporter since 1994. So for the last 15, 16 years, it's been very geared toward the National Football League.
And you're currently covering the Carolina Panthers.
That's correct.
So Charles, tell me about how you got interested in this. I mean, most of us that enjoy sports enjoy the NFL, and we enjoy seeing a good hit, and we know it's a rough and tough game, but how did you get interested in this personally? Why has it become such an issue to you?
Well, you know, you watch this game, and I grew up watching it my whole life from the time I was a little kid. I just I love the NFL and love sports, and kind of by the time I was beginning high school, I sort of knew I wanted to be a sports writer, and sort of the path sort of took me down this road. But in watching the game, it's not just a, I mean, it's a big sport. It's on TV. It's fun to watch, but there's also people involved. And in 1999, I received Jesus and was into my heart and was born again, and I began to, I think, see things a little differently, and began to pray about my work, and I sort of started seeing things, I guess, that I maybe hadn't noticed before. Certainly, you knew players got hurt, you knew that there was damage that would occur, but if you're living your life sort of saying, you know, I want to see things through the lens of God, you start seeing that, hey, there's some carnage out there. There's people getting hurt. There's big business. There's big money. There's big TV. And when you put all that together, there are casualties. And I became very interested in pursuing that angle.
Now, Charles, just to help some of our listeners who may not be as familiar, on an NFL team, how many players are there?
You have on the active roster during the regular season, there's 53 players on the active roster. You have, I think it's about six or so that are on your practice squad, and then you could also, you usually have a group of players who are out for the year that are on what's called injured reserve. The Panthers this year had, at the end of the year, 12 players on injured reserve, so they were at about 71 or so total.
And in an average game, how many guys actually get out on the field?
Well, you know, you have on offense, there's 11, and defense, there's 11. Generally, you're going to see somewhere in the low to mid-40s on each team, counting their special teams or offense or defense. They're able to suit up 46 players every week, and almost all of them play. Usually there's only one or two or three that don't get in the game. So you're talking, you know, somewhere between 43, 46 players get in.
All right, so after a typical game in the NFL, regular season game, what kind of injuries are common? What does it look like in the locker room?
Well, you know, especially as the season goes on, you know, they have a training room, obviously. There's quite a number of guys that have to go back there. There's just a ton of bruises and welts, and you see scrapes and cuts and, you know, a lot of blood in there, not to be too gory. But you know, depending on the game, you could see, knee injuries are very a common thing. Certainly head injuries, you know, because you got the helmet. We're hearing more and more these days about concussions and that sort of thing. And we got bones that get hurt. We got tendons and ligaments, and it's all over the board. I mean, you hear all kinds of things. And a lot of guys that never miss a game by the end of the year, you know, 16 regular season games is a long time. You got guys that are really beat up and bruised and hurt and talking about how it's hard to get out of bed in the morning.
So you're talking about an active player, an athlete, not somebody who's 60 years old. But someone who's actively playing, some of these guys in the course of the season, maybe 28, 30 years old, it's actually hard for them to get out of bed in the morning because they're in so much pain?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, I've heard many players talk about what it's like on Monday and Tuesday. As a matter of fact, there's this story I've been wanting to do for a while. We hadn't completed it yet, but it was sort of the thought of it is Monday morning football. And it sort of plays off the, we're real familiar with Monday night football. That's obviously a big marketing slogan. Literally billions of people have watched Monday night football for years and years and years. But the idea of Monday morning football is, you know, most games are played on Sunday. So when you get up on Monday morning, what does your body feel like? And what I've had players to tell me is that it definitely hurts on Monday, but Tuesday's the day they really feel it. And that's usually their day off. And a guy like Brad Hoover, the fullback for the Panthers, he blocks a lot. He's in a lot of collisions. And he just says Tuesdays are just really gruesome. And he's like 30, 31 years old. And, if you just watch the game and you see how much physical hitting there's going on out there between athletes that are getting bigger, stronger, and faster every year, I mean, it just tells you the human body is just not made to endure that over the length of time that this season goes on.
When we come back, Charles, on the other side of the break, I want to talk about life expectancy, some real hardcore issues, some quotes from people in terms of playing through the pain, and ask some direct questions, because there are plenty of fine Christian people involved that are athletes, that are coaches, that are involved in every aspect of the NFL. But, you know, if we saw this level of punishment, people getting hurt on this level in any other order of business, we question it as far as being Christian. So stay with us, Charles. We'll be back. If you've got a question, email at drcrown@askdrcrown.com on the air by email. Welcome back to the Line of Fire, friends. Michael Brown coming your way live from Denver, Colorado. A special broadcast with Charlotte Observer sports writer Charles Chandler. We're talking about violence in the NFL. The violence that's built into it, it's guaranteed with these big, strong athletes smashing into each other through the game for our entertainment. And you can't get away from the smashing and crashing and injuries. It's just part of the NFL. Jerome Bettis, famous with the Pittsburgh Steelers, has said, if you can't endure the pain, you can't play in the NFL. Is it Christian? Is this a right thing for us to be entertained by? How can so many Christians be involved in something so violent? I'm not taking calls today, but I am taking emails at Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. You know, people criticize boxing, for example, because of the violence of the sport, or mixed martial arts because of the violence of the sport, and I fully understand the criticisms. But overall, are there more injuries, more life-threatening things in football than even through those sports? Charles, a question for you in terms of some of the reality of the NFL. You talked about the injuries, the broken bones, the sprains, the welts, the bruises, the blood. I know these guys are tough. They have a high tolerance of pain, but is that the only way they manage to play through? Are there drugs involved also?
Well, certainly there have been reports for years of, painkillers. That's something that I think players that sometimes some discretion of their own is, they sometimes rely on. I don't think there's any question about that. I think over the years, the awareness of that has grown, and there has been, I think, more of an accountability in that area. But no question that, drugs and even performance-enhancing drugs is something that has been an issue. We've done some work on that at the Observer. There was actually an issue a few years ago with Panthers players. And then what I hear players talk about is the importance of trying to recover. And when you say recover, I mean literally to recover with your body so that you can play next week. Now, I'm not suggesting what number of them, would use something that would be, kind of in the gray area or across the line. But, I mean, it has happened, and you would have to assume it still does happen, partly because of the degree of a physical toll that it takes on their bodies. But there's also, like, plenty of guys that try to do it the right way with a clear conscience.
But aren't there legal painkillers used that, a guy will get injured, get shot up back on the field? And so it's not a question of whether it's healthy to play, but whether he can manage to play?
Yes. I mean, there's certainly legal drugs that they can use to bring down the pain, and I think a lot of times that's up to the player whether he wants to do that. I mean, you sort of have this vision of a team forcing something on him. Well, I think in today's game, guys do want to get back on the field. There's no question. There's a pressure to keep your job, but I also think that there is that discretion that they have, and I'm seeing guys more and more exercising that discretion of whether they would get a painkiller like that or not. But certainly sometimes that's the only way they can continue playing.
I'm going to read a quote in a moment from Jerome Bettis and some of what he played with and the consequences of it. There's no question that many of these athletes have the quality of their physical life greatly diminished because of the injuries, trouble walking, confined to wheelchairs, hours to just function in normal ways. What about actual life expectancy? Have studies been done on this, Charles, that talk about whether this could actually shorten your life playing in the NFL?
Well, there have been studies that have been disputed. We've done some reporting over the years on retired players, and retired players sort of use the deal of like 65, that the average football player is never going to get to 65. I don't know that there's ever been a conclusive study that would say that it shortens lifespan. It certainly has always been argued by the NFL that the studies weren't valid. I think there's a lot of players who have watched their comrades, many of them, die earlier than expected from causes that they would relate to playing in the game, that would say that it definitely shaves time off your life, and especially in many, many cases, the quality of your life as you go forward.
The issue of concussions has been getting more and more play. You mentioned that a few minutes ago. I remember reading with horror about the professional wrestler Chris Benoit that killed his wife and his son and then committed suicide. And his father, so distraught, how did this happen? He loved his family. Why would he do something like this? And when they examined brain tissue, they said the brain tissue was like that of an 80-year-old man, something like that, and attributed it to multiple concussions. And he just kept performing with professional wrestling and all the injury, even though it's all scripted, the injuries that come out of that. Now there's more and more talk in the NFL, but how serious is this concussion issue? You know, I've heard reports about dementia and things like that. Are those accurate reports?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. There was actually a congressional hearing this week held in Detroit with John Conyers and some others, Representative John Conyers from Michigan, about this very issue. It has become more and more of a national issue that our legislators are focused on, that they're holding the NFL accountable, and the NFL is beginning to put more validity in the idea that football is a game, that concussions can lead to dementia. That's been, believe it or not, has been disputed by the league for quite a while, and you're just now beginning to hear under Commissioner Roger Goodell, who I think is a man of a real man of consciousness, that you're starting to hear that the league is beginning to put more stock into those reports. I think something else you're going to see that is going to get some answers that haven't come up to now, there is a real move on now for retired players to donate their brains to research at the time of their death. I mean, it's being asked widely, and I'm telling you, there is such a solidified effort on behalf of retired players. I think you're going to see a lot of them do it, and if it goes to a central location, I think some of the results that we're going to see in the next decade or so are going to be incredibly revealing, much more so than anything we've seen to date. There already have been some brain studies that have, much like the one you cited with the wrestler, some brain studies of football players showing that a similar toll taken on the human brain from what they believe to be the impact over the years of the collisions on the football field.
So, Charles, when we come back on the other side of the break, a few questions I want to press in on. One is there a way to get away from the violence if you're going to have a good NFL game? And then to really come to the question of Christian participation, again, knowing so many fine Christians committed to the sport on every level, so when we come back, I want to pursue those issues. And again, we're really talking here about life and death issues. We're talking about as we're sitting enjoying a game that 10 years later or 15 years later, that player that we're so celebrating, that's so tough and keeps coming back and keeps fighting, that they can barely walk. They can barely function as a father and a husband. Is it worth it? I'm going to take these questions up. Take your email questions at Dr. Brown. That's drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Stay with us, friends. We will be right back here on The Line of Fire.
This is the Truth Radio Network.
God of light, hear
thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way live from Denver, Colorado, where I'm lecturing all this week at Denver Theological Seminary with a very special guest, a committed Christian friend, Charles Chandler, who is a sports writer with the Charlotte Observer. We are talking about violence in the NFL, terrible lifelong injuries that athletes have as a result of the banging and bruising that takes place. Charles, I just want to play a little clip. I saw this online the other day. Michael Strahan, and I've got a link on our website, AskDrBrown.org. If you click on the Line of Fire, you can link to the article I read from earlier, quoting from Dave Pear, a debilitated NFL veteran. And there's a clip with Michael Strahan, who's more and more media figure, former lineman with the New York Giants. And you actually had to watch the clip. I encourage everyone to get online when you have an opportunity. Go to the link, AskDrBrown.org, Line of Fire. And watch this as Michael Strahan talks about what happened to his fingers. And he's got twisted fingers that are just going every direction. So listen to him talk about what happened to his fingers.
The story of my fingers, yeah. How I hurt my fingers.
Well, that pinky is, it's always been like that from what I can remember. All my fingers, they don't really line up, and they're just from like getting bent out of shape. All it, and that's the first one I ever did. First one I ever did. I had surgery on this one. You know, it's all from grabbing people. When you're grabbing somebody, they try to run, and you try to jerk them, and then you go, you run after the play, and the play's over, and you go, and you look, and your finger's sitting like that, and you go, snap it back. And the crazy thing is, you don't come out of a football game because of a finger. They would laugh at you. So you suck it up. You go back, they bring it to the side, they tape it together, and then you go play again. And the next day, one knuckle looks like those two put together, and you deal with it. But it's tender, it takes a little while to get used to hitting people again. I've pretty much smashed all my fingernails before between the helmets. You put your hands up, and then the blood gets underneath. And one of the most painful things you could ever do is when they have to burn a hole in your fingernail to release the pressure so the blood can come out. Oh my. You know, that's probably the most pain I've ever been in. Yeah, not nice.
All right, so you suck it up, fingers dislocated, pop it back in, keep playing. People laugh at you if you come out with a finger injury. I remember seeing one running back, Charles, that I think it was Eddie George, dislocated his shoulder in the first half and came back to play in the second half. I admire the toughness, but what about the gospel, Christian values, violence? How do you reconcile this level of violence that's always going to be part of professional football with being a committed Christian in the midst of it? What are your thoughts?
Well, there's no question that there's an element of a gladiator. If you think about a Roman gladiator, it was literally to the death, you know, back then. There's an element of that in football. It's not quite to that degree, but I think you've also got the idea of you know, men and what's a real man. And, like you say, what we admire is we watch a guy come back and just how tough he is, not thinking what's going to happen down the road. You hear Michael Strahan. We certainly have watched him sack the quarterback, you know, well over 100 times over the years, for Giants fans particularly. But to hear that, it's just gripping, you know, to hear him reflect on it. I've heard him and others talk about things like that, I believe. And so in terms of how you mesh it with the gospel, I think for those in the game and those around the game, I think the idea would be to continue to try to bring awareness to it, to try to bring more sanity to it. If the thought is to, well, let's just get rid of the game, I don't think that's, not only is it not realistic, but it may be going a bit too far. But there's no question mm-hmm. that over the years, things have gotten to and I would say, pun intended here, things have gotten out of bounds. And we've got to get them, things have got to get back in bounds. I'll also tell you, and I would love to talk about this some more, is that there are a lot of very, very committed Christians in the NFL. You know, I've had the pleasure to cover some of them. I mean, Reggie White, who came through Carolina, John Casey, a kicker, and those guys are you know, their whole lives are centered around Jesus Christ, and they're playing this sport, and they're not playing it because they think it's evil. They play because they love it, but I think mm-hmm. also that they would be aware that there are problems here that need to be addressed.
Right. So the question is not the thought of abolishing the sport, which, like you say, is not going to happen and it's going too far. The question is how to address some of the problems. And look, for guys to be macho, tough, you may have a construction worker that works through pain. I get up and preach while I'm sick. I mean, we all do certain things. What we try not to do is abuse ourselves or abuse our bodies. Now, years back, there was less control. There was the famous hit in 1978 when Jack Tatum, in a preseason game, took out Daryl Stingley, left him quadriplegic, paralyzed for life. And Jack Tatum said of himself, "I like to believe that my best hits border on felonious assault." So there have the game has been cleaned up in certain ways. You feel that more can be done, both within the game and then with athletes afterwards, to keep moving things in a better direction?
I don't think there's any question that it continues to be a process. It's come a long ways. There are even some, traditionalists that look at it and say that they've made it now, so, they protect the quarterbacks too much. It is a complaint that you hear sometimes from kind of a diehard community. I don't think that's true. I think, you need to continue to work to try to keep the game valid, but at the same time trying to protect players. And that's something that Roger Goodell, I'm seeing him more and more now working toward player safety. There are more even player committees. Tony Dungy, another committed Christian, is involved where a lot of these issues are being discussed. And, you can't completely change everything overnight, but I think as they go along, they are trying to get to that place. And Troy Aikman, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback who's now in the Hall of Fame, said recently that, well, let's just get rid of helmets. That way there won't be head injuries. Well, obviously that's not going to happen, but that just lets you know the degree to which, things are being tossed around.
So we got 1 minute before the break. What about Christians enjoying the violence? Is there something where a Christian is getting a wrong enjoyment from this very physical game?
Well, I would say to say that I enjoy or that someone enjoys watching football. Nothing wrong with loving the game, watching the game. But if you see something where someone gets hurt, there's this vicious hit and the guy's laid out there and you're like, wow, and you're celebrating it, there's no question that there's when someone's getting hurt and there's an enjoyment, we want to watch it. That's gory and that's definitely over the line.
All right, so you can enjoy a good hit. If someone's injured, then you say it went too far, or if something is intentionally vicious, then that crosses a line for believers.
Yeah, I think it does. And what I've seen, even this year, the other day, there was a player that got hit in the end zone when Carolina was playing, and Tyler Brayton, a defensive end who's a Christian, knelt next to an opponent and prayed for him. And so I think that's correct response. When you see someone hurt, just as if you saw someone have a car accident out here, we would want to care and have compassion for them rather than celebrating the hit. If someone's hurt, we need to turn our focus from this dramatic hit to the person
Got it.
That's been harmed.
All right, hey, let me just jump in here. And again, someone could say that with boxing or mixed martial arts, there is an intent to injure and people enjoy the blood and the gore, where it is going to be different in the NFL. All right, a lot more to come. Stay with us right here on the Line of Fire.
Send the fire today.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way live from Denver, Colorado, with my special guest, sports writer Charles Chandler, committed Christian and journalist with the Charlotte Observer for many years now. We've been talking about the violence in the NFL that's just built into the game. Certain positions, you're playing the position of a lineman, you're getting smashed every play, and you're smashing back. Running back, you're getting hit play after play. There's a story came out when Jerome Bettis's autobiography was released. During the Pittsburgh Steelers 2000 season, Bettis rushed for 1,341 yards and did it despite playing with a turf toe, a lump the size of a cue ball in his lower left leg, injured ribs, and a bad left knee. And he talks about what he had to go through. Saturdays weren't any fun. even with the limited practice schedule, my knee would swell. So every Saturday, a team doctor would come in and drain the knee. The needle was as long and thick as a number two pencil. Think about that for a minute. Then the doctor would extract all sorts of pus, blood, little pieces of cartilage. Yeah, it hurt, but if I wanted to play, that's what I had to do. Pain is part of the game. It's as much a part of the game as the crowds or the Miller Lite commercials or the TV cameras. He said, I let USA Today's Jarrett Bell, whom I've known for a long time, use me as the centerpiece for a story he was doing on the toll an NFL season takes on your body. He saw it all. My purple ankle, my bruised backside, the red welts on my back, the scars, the scratches and gashes on my arms and legs, the torn tendons in my thumbs, the ring finger that is missing a chunk of flesh. Charles, is it worth it? What do these athletes say after the game's over, after the glory has faded? Is it worth it?
Well, you get different thoughts on it. I think there's some guys that would say that it was worth it. It was their dream. But then you get a guy like Dave Pear who, he certainly has paid a big price. He's handicapped. And so he's going to be more apt to say that it's not worth it. Guys who are playing at the time that they're playing, especially early in their career, I just don't think they see this. I don't think they realize, even though there's been attempts like, guys speaking out more, retired players speaking out more, but it is such a strong desire. It is a kid's game that they get paid and get paid extremely well to play, and they count it, in the most part, they count it a great blessing, to play, despite the toll that it takes on their bodies.
Right, so perhaps the thing to do is make sure they know up front what it actually entails. Elwin asked this, what about athletes who do not come from a middle-class family, but their life comes from inner city and poverty? It's their way out. This is the only way they can take care of their family. They come from a Christian home, but with the NFL, they will only return back to what they know of the past. So it is really life-transforming. Very, very few people have the athleticism and determination and the ability to make it to the NFL. What happens just to the life of the player afterwards? Forget the injuries. We don't hear about most of the players afterwards. What's life like?
Well, I think the other thing, in addition to the injuries, you have a lot of guys who have not grown up in a situation where they had any money. So you have issues of money management. You have issues of savings. You have issue of when they're playing the game, they're everybody's friend. They're groupies that come around. Once they're through playing, a lot of those people leave. You see at a very high rate, not just of, things that become physical problems later. You see a high rate of divorce. You see things such as a bankruptcy. You see all kind of things that happen after their career. And I think the league and the Players Association try to educate players. But when guys are young and their dreams being realized, sometimes it's difficult for them to be able to look and have a long-range view, a wide-angle lens look at this thing, because it goes far beyond just the physical toll. There's a lot of other emotional tolls and family tolls and financial tolls that it takes on them, too, because once they get out, what about getting health insurance? If you get a job and get health insurance, it's one thing. I talked to Joe Montana. Joe Montana, maybe the greatest quarterback ever. A few years ago, I interviewed him about when he was trying to buy his own health insurance policy. It was ridiculous how much it was going to cost him. I mean, we're talking, just tens of thousands of dollars a year just to get covered.
So with the glory, there is a price to pay. Hey, Charles, we've got one last segment, and I want to ask a larger question, an eternally related question that I know will be dear to your heart. So stay with us. I appreciate you taking out time to be with us today. We may have time to get another question or two in. Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. More to talk about violence in the NFL, violence in sports, God's perspective on the whole subject. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back in a moment. thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming away live all this week from Denver, Colorado. I'll be back to taking calls again tomorrow, but with my special guest, sports writer Charles Chandler with the Charlotte Observer. We were just taking e-questions today. And, Charles, I saw a video interview that Jerome Bettis did. It was on TV a few years ago, where someone asked him, okay, if you knew by the time you were 30, it'd be hard to get out of bed in the morning. By the time you're 35, you'd barely be able to make it down the steps. And by the time you're 40, you'll be in a wheelchair. Whatever the progression was, would it have been worth it to have played in the NFL? And Jerome Bettis seems like a very likable guy. He said, if I had never played and you told me this, no. But to have played and experienced the crowds, the glory of it all, yes, it was worth it. And it got me thinking about this, the larger eternal issues. And we can get so caught up in the moment and the excitement of the moment and the team won and this happened and that happened, and yet it's such a small part, just like the raise on your job or the new car, whatever it is, all these things are such a small part of the bigger picture. So as you've come to know the Lord, Charles, what ultimately matters? You do a great job in sports journalism, investigative journalism. You're a Christian in the midst of it. But as you look at the larger picture of life, I mean, talk to our listeners. What really matters?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that is near and dear to my heart. What really matters is our relationship with our Maker, our relationship with the one who sent his one and only Son to bring us back into fellowship with him as we accept him in his death and on the cross and his resurrection. And you know, my favorite Bible passage, Dr. Brown, is Philippians 3, 7 through 11, where Paul was talking, and he was certainly speaking about his Jewish heritage, but he just says, whatever I've counted as gain, whatever meant the most to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ and the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And one of the first commandment is to have no other gods before me. And when you come into a moment where you realize how much you are loved by God and the incredible sacrifice that was made, there's nothing that this world offers that comes even close to comparing to that. So what matters is knowing the love of God, knowing God himself through Jesus. I mean, that's the heart of the matter. The matter of the heart is the heart of the matter, and that's where it's found. And all these things, whether it be sports or whatever we value, I know I valued, I love my job, but I really held it at too high a place years ago, you know, before coming to know the Lord. But anything like that can be an intoxicant to us that can take our focus off of what really truly matters.
Yeah, Charles, that is wonderfully well said. And a lot of people, they look at your job, what a dream job, especially a lot of guys into sports and ladies into sports, and you see it firsthand, you watch the trophy ceremony, you're behind the scenes with the athletes, you'd be the first to say, yeah, it's great, but there's something infinitely greater.
There's no question about it. I count myself, it's a dream as a kid. I would have never imagined what would have happened, that I would have been able to cover this game and meet a lot of the people I have, and it's been absolutely wonderful. But excuse me, I get choked up here if I get into this too much, but you know, the thought that God made a way for me to be with him forever and to know him, to literally know him, is just blows my mind. I just completely am blown away by it.
Well, Charles, awesome. We are out of time, but I appreciate hearing your heart. I can feel the passion in your heart. And friends, if you're listening and you don't know Jesus, my friend Charles Chandler knows Jesus, drop me a line, Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org. Everybody, visit the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on Line of Fire to listen to the show again and to check out the links that we have provided. Charles, thanks so much for being with us today. God bless you, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Friends, we'll be back live with you tomorrow, taking your calls here on the Line of Fire. You be blessed in Jesus.
This is the Truth Radio Network.